How to Overcome Anxiety and Depression Without Drugs by Russell Simmons. Introduction. In this fifth edition of Healing Anxiety and Depression Without Drugs, October 2024, I share my deeply personal journey through anxiety disorder, chronic fatigue, and severe depression. This is not just a retelling of my struggles, but a guide to the natural healing therapies, nutritional approaches, and lifelong dietary strategies that helped me navigate and ultimately recover from this overwhelming experience. The solutions outlined in this book come from decades of trial and error. Through my own journey, I've uncovered practical methods to manage and alleviate anxiety and depression without relying on medication. If you're seeking a path to healing that addresses the root causes, whether they be emotional, nutritional, or spiritual, this book is here to guide you. My experience was a living nightmare. I faced some of the most harrowing panic attacks and bouts of depression imaginable, with symptoms that felt utterly out of control, racing heartbeats, sleepless nights, and debilitating mental anguish. I often wondered if I would ever escape the vicious cycle of fear and hopelessness. But through a process of discovery and persistence, I found a way out, and I believe you can too. This book isn't just about managing symptoms, it's about empowering you to reclaim control of your life. My goal is to share everything I've learned so that you too can experience the profound relief of overcoming anxiety and depression naturally, without the need for drugs. In this book, I share my personal journey through the depths of anxiety, depression, and chronic fatigue, offering practical solutions I discovered through years of trial and error. My life was once a waking nightmare. Long periods of depression, coupled with feelings of despair, seemed to stretch on endlessly, making each day unbearable. The intensity of my emotional struggles was compounded by the fact that I also dealt with something akin to Asperger's syndrome, which led to me being a target of bullying throughout my school years. These experiences left me angry, isolated, and overwhelmed by a world that felt hostile, chaotic, and confusing. Like many, I sought help, hoping to find relief. Yet, I encountered a wide range of diagnoses from different experts, which only left me feeling more confused and alarmed. The prescribed medications, while tempting as a quick fix, carried dangerous side effects that I felt could drag me into a deeper rabbit hole of dependency. I knew I had to find another way, so I made a bold decision to explore alternative therapies and avoid the pitfalls of pharmaceuticals. This decision was not easy, and it marked the beginning of an arduous journey toward healing. Natural therapies, nutritional changes, and alternative health approaches, however, were far from straightforward. I quickly realized that no single food, supplement, or treatment could solve my complex set of issues. It required a holistic, synergistic approach, combining health-building foods, probiotics, prebiotics, and supplements with lifestyle practices such as meditation, intermittent fasting, exercise, and the conservation of vital energy. Healing, I found, wasn't about quick fixes, but about creating balance across many areas of my life. Throughout this process, I was shocked by the lack of moral support and constructive feedback from those around me. I had hoped for encouragement, especially after writing this book, but instead, it was met with criticism and misunderstanding. Yet, despite the struggles, this journey gave me invaluable insights into how to heal the mind and body naturally through wholeness, rather than relying on drugs. I wrote this book because I know the pain of feeling lost and hopeless, and I want to offer an alternative path to others who are suffering. My methods may seem unconventional, but they worked for me, and I believe they can help others reclaim their lives from the grip of anxiety and depression. Chapter 1: How My Life Was Ruined. For over 50 years, I suffered severely from anxiety and depression. My condition rapidly deteriorated as soon as I started high school, and it became even worse later on, almost as if the universe and everything in it were deliberately trying to make my life as miserable as possible. This is my story of great emotional pain, long years of isolation, misery, grief, outrage, and utter hopelessness, and how I gradually found my way out of this dismal tunnel of despair and into the light of wisdom, joy, and great relief. Starting around the age of 14, my well-meaning but exasperated parents required me to undergo the usual series of distressingly intrusive full physical examinations by various physicians and a standard psychoanalysis. My parents naturally became quite concerned and, of course, wanted to help me any way they knew how. I was initially diagnosed with anxiety neurosis at 14, and later on, in my early 20s, anxiety disorder, which was eventually followed by many failed attempts at conventional drug therapies of various kinds. These conventional drug therapies continued into my late 30s, but without the slightest degree of improvement, only continued worsening of my condition and a rather annoying and alarming expansion of the number and variety of my symptoms. As I approached my 40s, I became a basket case of many different symptoms that sometimes I managed to overcome at least temporarily, but oftentimes not. And it seemed to be no end in sight to the hell I was going through, and was utterly mystified as to why it was all still happening in the first place, in spite of all my best efforts to eliminate it. Even though I was already having to deal with all the complications and annoyances one usually is challenged with while growing up, I was also rudely confronted with the utterly mysterious and terrifying symptoms of panic disorder. Not at first knowing what the hell was going on, they devastated my days at school and disrupted my concentration on schoolwork. After what usually was a rough day in school, especially throughout high school, I would come home completely exhausted, frustrated, and unable to concentrate on anything, especially homework. I endured a very limited social life and no girlfriends. I suffered for what seemed like an eternity from social anxiety, agoraphobia, loneliness, severe acne, mysterious weight loss, and crippling depression. From junior high to high school, throughout the early to mid-1970s, most kinds of team sports really bothered me, especially the ones requiring quick thinking with potential for injury. And as a result, I became terrified of baseball, football, soccer, water polo, etc., whenever forced into those activities as part of the required physical ed high school curriculum. I struggled for a really long time trying to fit in anywhere. Everyone seemed to be utterly self-confident, often downright brazen in fact, while I felt utterly confused and heartbroken. I suffered much hazing from others and much rejection and unrequited love from members of the opposite sex I felt attracted to, resulting in a vicious cycle of continued social anxiety, astonishment, and resentment of other people's popularity and success, and my overwhelming sense of rejection, isolation, and alienation. Fortunately, the hazing seemed to diminish considerably by the time I reached my senior year in high school. But the crippling anxiety, fatigue, and depression, etc., increased in its place. It was a miracle I had the courage and nerve to pass the test to get my driver license in 1982 at the age of 24. Not because I did not know how to drive, but because I felt utterly, utterly terrified of anything to do with it. Even worse, there were only a limited few jobs I could handle, and because of the agoraphobia I suffered from so horribly, they needed to always be a very short distance from home. Having to stop at busy intersections or being forced to go on a freeway would scare me the most, because I was always terrified the motor would cut out and die on me and be stranded for a long time in an extremely hazardous situation far from home. Most unfortunately, the agoraphobia and anxiety disorder continued to grow worse and worse through college, where I tried to study nutrition, psychology, astronomy, and especially art, and well into my work years. Even though I somehow managed to earn a couple of degrees, Bachelor of Science and Associate in Arts, my grades were nearly always so-so. The problem was, even though I seemed intelligent and deep-thinking enough to pass certain minimal requirements, intelligence tests, etc., I was often crippled by my negative moods and an ever-increasing and extremely annoying lack of mental energy. It did not take much stress at all to completely tire me out, and was often missing classes or even entire semesters because of my chronic fatigue illness. I would often have to sleep in all day. At times, this sleeping sickness of mine proved to be very awkward. This problem would be terrible for my business as an artist and maintenance manager. I would then try to eat something, but would then get severe depression right after eating, and then fall asleep again in the afternoon until 6 p.m., after which I would finally have some energy to barely get what needs doing as fast as I possibly could before the extremely disruptive and annoying cycle would repeat itself. I would have so little energy that time seemed speeded up. People would speak faster than I could understand them, and the days would seem to go by like hours. And of course, it was all in my head, so snap out of it. By the time I was finally able to get up and start working, the day would already be over. I was often up late at night, trying to catch up with all the business and housework I should have been doing the previous day. At the same time, I had to fight off severe anxiety attacks, extremely disrupting vertigo, horrible agoraphobia, and worrisome heart symptoms. I was also always behind financially. Changes of any kind really upset me, and they made me feel disoriented. I had a hard time keeping track of events and keeping my priorities organized, unless everything remained constantly the same. Which of course is impossible in an ever-changing, dynamic, and disruptive world such as the one we all live in. Familiar friends moving away, meeting new people, traveling, moving out, and distant locations often alarmed and frightened me. I hated sports and driving, or any potentially dangerous activity requiring constant adaptations to rapid changes, and always much preferred quiet activities having only safe and predictable outcomes, such as reading, hobbies, and meditation in a peaceful, familiar, and static environment. I always tended to have very few, but only meaningful, close-knit friendships of the spiritual kind. The agoraphobia continued to limit my range of travel more and more as time marched on, and had to endure long years of horrible, really frustrating depression, isolation, emotional confusion, and brain fog. I really struggled with financial survival and could only hold jobs that were simple, local, and stress-free, such as gardening, painting, and handyman-type projects. I must have tried nearly every work-at-home program I could get my hands on, but always met with horrible results. Everything proved to be difficult, no matter what it was. Even though I managed to express myself with a rather unusual artistic talent, the severe depression always made it very, very challenging to actually complete an excellent painting, let alone try to make a living at selling them. Throughout the late 70s, 80s, and 90s, I tried in vain to find the cause of my suffering through religions, gurus, doctors, psychiatrists, etc., only to be severely disappointed by their It's all in your head diagnosis and treatment methods. It seemed far worse than just anxiety neurosis, or the later diagnosis of anxiety disorder. I couldn't believe nor accept it. I thought I either had to have heart disease, kidney failure, cancer, strokes, tumors, diabetes, lead poisoning, mercury, DDT, or any combination of the above. But over and over, all my tests revealed nothing substantial or really significant, no toxins, no poisons, nothing that made sense or was helpful. I seemed to suffer from a misfit illness without any significant diagnosis, remedy, purpose, cause, or reason, because any one diagnosis never covered all the other annoying symptoms I suffered from. I tried counseling, Christianity, Christian and religious science, Eastern religions, meditation, yoga, frequent days of research at the library, health food stores, and even positive thinking for countless years spanning several decades. But still my problems only got worse and more complicated. I felt life was closing in on me as my comfort zone continued to melt away like a receding glacier. I started feeling more and more like a nutcase and a good candidate for insanity, as more and more of my family and friends gave me the "it's all in your head, so snap out of it" insult to injury behavior treatment. Nearly all of my acquaintances had no understanding nor sympathy for my chronic problems, so they left me alone. I spent most of my time very much alone and isolated. Being with people scared me so much, I often had to run to an isolated, quiet room or area where no people were around. To my utter horror, as I grew older, I noticed I could no longer fill out any forms nor sign my name on my check or credit card receipt in public without an immense or superhuman effort at self-control, because my hand would overwhelmingly shake far too much. Some of my signatures looked absolutely bizarre, and any forms filled out in public illegible. Whenever I needed a job, I went through hell just trying to fill out a simple job application. Conversations would end abruptly because I kept losing track of what I was going to say next, and would have trouble remembering what the other person said. I would have to stop in mid-sentence because I could not complete it, resulting in incredible embarrassment, another anxiety attack, and feeling like an idiot. This mental block would nearly always happen at the worst possible or critical moment, such as when having to explain a very serious problem over the phone, during an emergency confrontation, or speaking in front of a group of people, resulting in an incredibly severe fear of public speaking and socializing of any kind. Whatever it was, when I needed it the most, I would have it the least. My fears played on my nerves in unimaginable ways. I also had many physical symptoms too that drove me crazy. My heart kept skipping beats and/or speeding up and keeping me awake all night, especially if on any sort of medication, making me think I was having a heart attack. I would often have horrible nightmares, then wake up terrified in a cold sweat and in total confusion, not knowing where I was. I would not be able to sleep again until 5 in the morning. Then I would have to sleep all day to compensate for the nightly insomnia and to cope with the devastating stress, vertigo, and depression. I often suffered severe confusion and other problems with lack of appetite, extreme cravings, and digestion. I could not eat on a regular basis and often suffered severe diarrhea, sometimes for months on end. I also felt a great sense of unworthiness, tiredness, and fatigue that drove me nuts whenever I needed to get anything done. Expenses would accumulate, and I could never get ahead financially, no matter how hard I fought the overwhelming urge to sleep all the time, especially after eating. Greatly misunderstood, I was considered by others as very lazy. Under the influence, because of my vertigo, even though I never got drunk and never took anything illegal, and a poor achiever or so much dead wood, as I was often unable to support myself. Imagine all this happening while growing up and while trying to survive in the world. It was hell.